whether you're a member, non-member, and who, yes or no on the vote, and just place that in the tithe basket. We would appreciate that. With that, that's the end of the announcements, and let's move into the call to worship.
Father, we're so thankful this morning that we have this opportunity to be here. Lord, your word tells us where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are in the midst, and we're so thankful that this meeting is not void of you, but it's about you and for you, and to your glory we pray. And God, this morning as we turn our hearts toward the word, Lord, as it's taught to us today, Lord, would you give us ears to hear and hearts to understand, Lord? Open up, Lord, the mysteries of the gospel to us this morning as it's proclaimed, as it's preached, Lord God. We just pray, Lord, that you would have your way in each one of our lives as we surrender, Lord, day by day, more and more to you. We just love you and we thank you so much, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats.
Well, it's my distinct pleasure to be able to introduce to you this morning someone who all of you probably already know because he's spoken here before several times, and this morning, Pastor Abraham Lankford will be with us here this morning, and you know, he's an evangelist, and he's got a quite an impressive portfolio here of things that he's been involved with, including church planting, and just has been a trooper for the gospel, not just here on the Eastern Shore, but in all other places, wherever God would open the door for him to take the gospel. So I know that this morning, I believe he has some of his family here with him this morning. It says here that Abraham, Wendy, Christian, Aiden, and Kaylee, I'm not sure who all is here, but that's his family. So make Pastor Abraham feel welcome this morning, and we're so thankful that you're here with us, brother.
Thank you.
Just give us what God's put on your heart.
Thank you so much, Sean. Man, how many of you enjoy the worship this morning, just worshiping the Lord? Amen. Got a big favor to ask, Sean. Can I get one of those easels down there? Is that possible?
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
Yeah, we have one down here.
All right, wonderful. You guys are the best. You were planning on it already. Look at that. That's even better. I'm so glad to be back here this morning. I have my family with me. My wife is not able to make it today, but I want to introduce my family to you again. This is Christian, Aiden, and Kaylee. If you guys would just stand up for 1 second. Christian's the oldest, and then Aiden here, and then my daughter Kaylee over there. I love having my family travel with me, and they travel with me wherever they go, wherever I go, and whenever they can. And I'm so happy to be here. Good to see some of y'all's faces. I'm so happy to be with y'all again. I've missed you all. I honestly can say that. And I was excited to see you all this morning and be back here, return to New Covenant Church. And I'm going to just hold it like that. I want to speak to you guys this morning from the Word of God. Our main text is going to be from Proverbs 23. And we're going to look in one verse and verse number 23 here in just a moment. But I want to speak to you on a revival of truth, a revival of truth. I'm going to take my Bible. I have these notes here. I'm going to set that down. It's a little heavy for this stand, I think. And I'm just going to use the word I have here. I believe one of the greatest needs in our country right now is for a revival. How many of y'all believe that we need a revival in the church, in our country right now? How many of y'all have been praying for a revival? Because we know a revival is a sovereign act of God. It's not by an evangelist. It's not by a church. You can't make that happen, but we can humble ourselves and we can pray. We can seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and then God will respond to our cries. But I believe within this, we must understand what revival looks like. And there's many facets to it. I believe we need a revival in our country, but I want to just talk to you on one of the facets of revival that we need. I believe we need a revival of truth. A revival of truth once again. And I believe one of the greatest needs is for this revival of truth. And I'm not speaking of my truth or your truth. I'm speaking of the truth. There's a big difference because truth is not a subjective thing. Truth is based upon the Word of God. I'm speaking about the word of God when I speak about the truth. So John 17 says this in verse number 17. It says, sanctify them by your truth. And then he goes on and he says, your word is truth. So when we talk about truth, we're not talking about my truth. We're not talking about your truth. We're not speaking of things that are relative or subjective. We're basing truth according to the word of God. Can I hear you say amen? And it's okay. I want you to be free to say amen. It's in the Bible. They did say amen when the word of God was read. And so we can get excited and say amen to the word of God. So when you hear, can you do this for me this morning? When you hear the word of God and it speaks to your heart, can you stand in agreement with me and vocally say amen? Can we do that? That means I agree. I'm in agreement with this. It does something to your faith to be able to release that amen. And when you release that amen, it's a confirmation that the word of God is true to you as well. So the truth, first of all, must be pursued. If we're going to have a revival of truth, the truth must be pursued. We're going to go to Proverbs 23:23, our text verse, and we're going to look at this for just a moment. The Bible says in verse number 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. When we're talking about buying the truth, it means to actively pursue and to get truth. Number one is the truth must be pursued. I love what the Word of God says in Proverbs 16:16. It says this, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. If we're going to buy the truth, we need to not only actively pursue and get truth and wisdom and instruction and understanding, but this requires an effort and a sacrifice on our part to pursue after the truth. We must pursue after the truth. And I just want to say this, this generation needs to hear the truth. They need to hear the word of God. The word of God must be proclaimed. It must be pursued after in every generation. And this is a very confused generation. Many people do not know what the truth is. And we go to the word of God for truth. So we must pursue after the truth from the word of God. Can you imagine if we search the scriptures, we pursued after the truth in the scriptures as we would for hidden treasure? Can you imagine what that would look like in the church today? It would be a revival in the church. I believe the song's accurate. There's a lot of dust on the Bibles. And they're sitting in the back of cars or they're sitting on nightstands. But we need to pursue the truth, and the truth is found in the Word of God. I love this revival that took place in 2 Kings 22. The Bible tells us that the nation of Judah under Josiah's reign had an incredible revival, but before the revival, they had fallen into idolatry and they had walked away from the law of God. They had forgotten the word of God. And during the renovation of the temple, Hilkiah, he was the high priest, he found the book of the law in the rummages of the temple. And when he found the book of the law, he brought the first five books. It's believed it was the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. He brought that to King Josiah and he read it aloud to the king. Just think about what took place here. They had fallen into idolatry. And now during the renovation of the temple, the scroll was brought to King Josiah and read aloud to him. When King Josiah heard the word of the Lord read to him, he was so convicted in his heart. He was so moved through hearing the word of God that he literally tore his garments in contrition, not only for his sins, but for the sins of the people of God. He got right with God, and a revival swept through the land through hearing the word of God. And I just want to say this, if we are going to see a revival come, it first must be a revival of truth, and we must pursue after the truth. Say amen if you believe that. Just think about this. Just through reading of the law of God, a spiritual revival and renewal broke out in Judah. Just think about it. The people returned and came back to the Lord. We desperately need a revival of truth in our land, but the truth must be sought. Isaiah 59, 1 through 4, accurately, or 14, accurately depicts what took place and what is taking place in our land today. Listen to this. Tell me if this doesn't sound like today. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. This verse aptly describes the condition of the society that we live in. where truth and honesty and righteousness is no longer being practiced. I mean, you can go on the news based upon what news station you listen to. You can go on, whether it's Fox or CNN or NBC or MSNBC, whichever one, and you can hear people lying directly to you. You can hear people manipulating the truth. How many of you know that goes on? If it wasn't going on, any different opinions about something, I just want to hear the truth. We need the truth. I believe our generation is starving for the truth. But you're not going to find the truth on there. You might find little parts of truth, but you're not going to find the truth. The truth is the Word of God. That is what we need. That is what this generation needs. When truth is no longer practiced, this is what happens in society. It will begin to morally decay and corrupt. When truth is not practiced, this type of society will lead to a society where truth is subjective and relative. It will lead to a society where kids can now identify as an animal and we have to accept that. How many of you know that's where we're headed right now? That's where we even are in some ways. It will lead to a society that calls a woman a man and a man a woman. It will lead to a society that mutilates the body of our youth and attempts to change their gender. That's where we are right now. Just read the headlines. We are in a society that has rejected truth. Truth has fallen in the streets. But we are to buy the truth. We are to pursue the truth. And the truth is found in the Word of God. It will lead to a society that will eventually and does call truth hate speech. In other words, we speak the truth and some people say, you hate people. I don't hate you because I tell you the truth. I love you and therefore I tell you the truth. That's what this generation wants. And I just want to say this. We are living in a generation. Some of y'all might have looked down on the generation that's rising, but I believe in our youth. I believe that a mighty revival is happening in our youth. A mighty revival. If you haven't heard about it, thousands are being saved on campuses all over the United States. Why? Because our generation of youth right now rising up want the truth. They want to hear the truth. They want to hear somebody tell them the truth. They need to hear the truth. If we forsake the truth and truth falls in the streets, it leads to a society that condones what God condemns. A society that calls only the unborn life only a clump of cells. The truth of the matter is we need the truth right now, and we need righteous people to stand up and proclaim the truth. That's what we need. This generation needs the truth. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
The second thing, not only must the truth be sought after, not only must the truth be bought, it must be pursued after, but the truth must be proclaimed. But how do we proclaim the truth? I believe the church is in a state of fear. We're in a state of fear, and that's exactly where the enemy wants us. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I am not afraid to preach the truth. But how do we preach the truth to this generation? We must first preach it in love. We must preach the truth in love. The second point is the truth must not only be pursued, it must be proclaimed. Ephesians 4:15 says this, speaking the truth in love. It's one thing to speak the truth. It's another to speak the truth in love. We must speak the truth in love. I love what Colossians 4:5-6 says. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. That's unbelievers. Redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I believe salt makes everything better. How many believe that? Come on. How many of you like Eastern Shore tomatoes? Anybody in here? Like a little bit of salt on those Eastern Shore? Maybe a lot? Man, you put salt on an Eastern Shore tomato. There's no doubt God created the heavens and the stars and all that, but he made salt for a tomato. There's no doubt in my mind. And we as Christians are the salt of the earth. And he says here that we are to let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. This implies that we as Christians are to speak patiently, kindly, and lovingly to those who are not believers. Let me tell you, one of the greatest mistakes we can make is when we're so right, we're wrong. It's when we try to win the argument without winning the heart of that individual. We cannot be rude to this generation that has been lied to. We must be loving. And by the way, who has love? The church has love because God is love, and as he is, so are we in this world. So we are to be examples of love to this generation. I might not identify with that crowd, but I know they're unbelievers, and I know this, that Jesus came here not to just hang out with sinners, but to convert them and see their life transformed from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And he came here to transform, because the truth transforms lives. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so when people who are outside or unbelievers see us and they hear us, we must not be rude. And I will say this to you. The church has made a grave mistake in being rude to people and unkind. What I have seen in this generation, I have seen people who are professing Christians be the most unkind people, and I wouldn't even want their Christ. And we need to get right with God. We should be full of love. Preaching the truth, yes, but full of love, preaching the truth to this generation that has been lied to and confused. We need to be seasoned with salt. He goes on, and I'm going to read from Proverbs 28, verse 1 in just a moment. We not only need to preach the truth in love, proclaim the truth in love, but also with boldness. This is the hour where we need boldness, I think, more than we have in our lives. Proverbs 28, 1 says this, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You know, I went to a church one time and the pastor was preaching. He got done preaching and I listened to every word he said, and he just preached the word of God, the adulterated word of God. It was so pure and powerful. And by the time he got done, I walked up to him and I said, one thing I know you're a righteous man. And he said, well, why do you say that? And I said, the Bible says this, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I said, you're as bold as a lion, and I love it. The word bold means a confident and fearless expression of one's faith and convictions, empowered by the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all know we need the boldness of the Holy Spirit right now in our lives? We need boldness. We need not the fear. We just need the boldness of the Holy Spirit. That involves a courageous action and speech despite opposition or danger. One of the things I've seen is the church has unfortunately sat silently on the truth. I believe there's people where the Bible says that there's blood on our hands because we sat silently. We've worried about what people might think about us. We're worried if we're going to be rejected by some people. But we need to be as bold as a lion. We have feared man for way too long and not God. I love what Proverbs 29:25 says. It says, the fear of man brings a snare. But what did Jesus teach us about fear? In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said this, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This generation needs someone like John the Baptist to rise up. This generation needs that same spirit that was upon John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah, that same spirit of boldness, unapologetic, unafraid to say, you're living in sin, but Jesus came here to free you from that sin. We need the church to have that same spirit. And I just want to encourage you today that the Holy Spirit can give you that boldness and that courage to rise up, to speak to your children, to speak to your grandchildren, because I guarantee you, your children and grandchildren are under attack right now. And the enemy is trying to confuse them, trying to lie to them, trying to pervert them. And I just want to say this, today is a day where you say, Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me with courage so I can be courageous like John the Baptist, who gave his own life for the truth. And there are martyrs even now in our generation who have given their lives for proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is time not to fear, because what happens when we do not fear man, we create a revolution of truth, where truth is now proclaimed with boldness. And every time the enemy tries to strike and take our lives or silence us, it only emboldens the church to speak up and proclaim the truth louder than ever before. That's the generation we're living in. And this generation needs the truth to be proclaimed to them. And the last point is not only the truth must be pursued, the truth must be proclaimed, but the truth must be preserved. It must be preserved. The Word of God says in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Do not sell it. That means the truth is not for sale. This implies that the truth, I will not compromise the truth. I'm not going to give in, even if the organization or the churches start going this direction. I will leave that because I'm going to preserve the truth no matter what it takes. I'm going to hold on to the Word of God, and I'm not going to let go of the truth. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need not to give in to the world trying to pull us, like the tide going out. We need to stand there. I love standing on the beach, and when the water goes out, and you have your feet in that sand, and it starts washing away the sand, and then your feet start digging in, and it's pulling. You can feel it trying to pull at you to go out. But we need to be like unmovable, steadfast and unmovable. And we need to stand there against the tide that's going out and proclaim the truth to this generation and preserve the truth and not sell the truth to this generation. I'm not going to sell out. You need to make a decision. I am not going to sell out to my grandkids. I'm not going to sell out to the public schools. I'm not going to sell out to the government. I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil. I'm going to believe the truth, and I'm going to hold on to the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 says this, that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Our assignment as the church of God is to be the foundation of truth within our society. Let me just say this. The church is the hope of the world. We have the truth, and people need the truth. And we're not here just to say we've got the truth and it's our group, and we're just going to hold on to the truth, and we're barely going to hold on until Jesus comes. No, we are to go out and proclaim the truth. Amen. We're to have boldness and courage and proclaim the truth so others can hear the truth. We cannot be the pillar and ground of the truth if we do not pursue the truth and if we're not courageous enough to proclaim the truth. What is the truth that we can sell? He says, buy the truth and sell it not. What is the truth that we can sell? First off, we need to make a decision. We're not going to sell the truth that the Bible is the Word of God. We're not going to sell it. In a compromising generation, we're not going to compromise. The Bible is the Word of God. God is our creator. We're not going to sell that truth, that He is our maker. We're not going to sell the truth that there's only two genders and there's male and female. Kick me out if you want. Let's go. There's only two genders, and that is male and female. And in the beginning, God created them. In Genesis 1:26, He brought the female to the male, and they became one flesh. That's the Word of God. I am unapologetic, and I'm going to proclaim that. And let me just say this. Your children and your grandchildren need to hear that from you. They need to hear the truth of the Word of God. There's only two genders, male and female. Next, God designed marriage to be between a man and a woman, period. That's the Word of God. Say amen if you're still here and you believe that. Life begins at conception. How many of you still believe that? Amen? Praise God. The truth, every single one of us have broken God's laws. This is where the humility comes in. We're no better than anybody else. Somebody say amen if you believe that. I'm not better than somebody that is dressed as a woman that is a male. I'm not any better than them. I'm not any better than somebody that's addicted to drugs. I'm not any better than them. I need the Lord as much as they need the Lord. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. It's not about us being arrogant. It's about the truth of the Word of God. And listen, we've all broken His laws, but I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Say amen if you believe that. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary. I believe that. That's the truth of the Word of God. We cannot sell this truth. I'll never forget a time when I was planting a church in Cambridge, Maryland. And as I was there preaching the gospel, I went into a place and there, this particular gentleman was there. He was an elder of another church. And he said to me, he said, hey, so you're a preacher? I said, yes. He said, tell me you're not one of those preachers that believe in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. I said, what other type of preacher is there? I'm serious. He said, oh, come on, man. Tell me you're not one of those who believe there's a literal hell and sinners are going to pay for all eternity in a literal hell. I said, absolutely. That's the word of God. Amen. And I said, what type of Christian are you? And he said, I'm an elder at a church here in Cambridge, Maryland. I said, I don't even understand, man. That's not even the word of God. You see, the truth must be preserved. It must be preserved. It must be proclaimed, be pursued. I believe with all of my heart the word of God that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law of God for us. I believe it. I believe that I am saved by the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ alone, period. It's not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but it's according to his grace that he saved us. How many of you believe that? Say amen. I believe in that with all of my heart. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and paid for them in full on the cross, and it is finished. Say amen if you believe that. I believe that salvation is by grace alone, by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Say amen if you believe that. And I believe Jesus. After he died on that cross, he was buried in a tomb. And after 3 days, I believe that Jesus bodily came up out of that tomb and he is alive forevermore. He has the keys of hell and death. And Jesus, after 40 days, he ascended to be with the Father. But one day, Jesus is coming back for us. Say amen if you believe that. He's coming again. I believe it. I said the truth must be pursued by the truth. The truth must be proclaimed. We cannot be silent on the truth. And third, I said the truth must be preserved. It must be preserved in every generation. And I just want to pray for you all this morning. I know we've got an ordination here in just a moment. I want to pray for you all that God will give you the spirit of boldness, of courage, that in this generation right now, that the Holy Spirit right now will fill you. You will not have the spirit of fear, but of love. And that when we speak the truth, we will speak in love, but with boldness. That we won't be rude, we won't be inconsiderate, we won't be condemning, but we will be loving. And no matter what it costs, our reputation, our life, it doesn't even matter. But that we preserve the truth right now in this generation. Father, I thank you for your holy word. I believe your word is truth. And you said, sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. And I believe that you're setting us apart through your word right now. And I thank you for your holy word. Lord, you know we've needed it. We've need to hear the word of God proclaimed in our generation without apology, without fear of man, without losing credentials, without fear of a tax status, losing that. We need to not fear what man can do, but fear you who's able to kill the body and the soul. And Lord, we come to you right now. We repent of our silence. We repent of our fear. And we turn to you right now. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us with your love, that you would fill us with a Holy Spirit boldness, that we would be bold and courageous in this generation. And that as we are here today, that we would pursue after the truth in your word. That we would go after the truth. We would buy the truth. And I pray, Lord, that we would proclaim the truth and that a real revival would take place because of the word of God in our lives. And that we would preserve the word of God. That we wouldn't give in to false doctrines and things of the flesh and temptations and lies and cunningness and craftiness in this generation. But I pray, Lord, that the church would rise up and we would preserve your holy word, proclaim your holy word, and pursue your truth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for having me here today. God bless you guys.
Let's all stand and worship the Lord together this morning.